Hi there, and welcome back to the Community Strategy Podcast. My name is Deb Schell. I'm a creator turned community builder after launching my online community in 2020. I have a passion for online events and bringing people together. I now consult business owners and leaders just like yourself who have a message, their life's work, or a vision for helping others transform through their online courses, cohorts, or memberships. On this interview style podcast, you'll hear conversations with community leaders, passion for bringing people together online. Our goal is to provide you with interesting conversations to inspire you to build, launch, and grow an online community with energy, confidence, and purpose. Let's get started.
Good morning. So I'm Deb Schell. I'm the founder of Find Calm Here. I started my consulting business in 2020. But I've been struggling on what does it mean to be a consultant and how do I do that? during 2021, I reached out to people on LinkedIn and said, hey, you know, are you doing community? Is anybody doing community consulting and do you want to meet up? And that's kind of how this group started in 2021, about a year ago, by just having these monthly sessions where we have open dialogue and conversations around community consulting, you know, being a consultant, building a business, you know, what services am I offering? How am I pitching, pricing, and all of those conversations of how we work with clients, how we onboard clients. Those are all conversations we've been having over the past year with what is the Community Consultants Collective, which you are a part of as of this moment in this space. And so recently, since I started working more in with Todd, over the summertime, we talked about how to formalize our group a little bit more. And so we have established a board of advisors who we're going to be meeting a couple times to get a sense of direction and focus and get a little more strategic about how to really utilize this relationship that we've been building with each other over the last year and inviting other people as we invite other people in the conversation. But today, for our collective session, we've been having different topics of focus. So the other month, Todd was doing an onboarding of clients and kind of walking us through how he onboards some clients. And we've had different sessions and conversations around, I think the last call we had last month is all about CMX and what our experiences, our feedback, or takeaways were from the CMX summit that happened in September. And as we're recording this on November 2nd, Todd and I had been working on was this, there's so much going on in the industry right now that we're like, we need to like put together some community trends. And I thought that would make a really great podcast episode. And also, I'm ending the Community Strategy Podcast at the end of the year. So we've got, and on a high note, my win is that I got David Siegel, the CEO of Meetup, to be a guest on the Community Strategy Podcast. And so he's going to be episode 100, which I'm really excited about. And so I'll just say this will be an episode of the podcast. And I'm opening up the floor as of right now to stop talking because I want to hear what everyone has a thought around. And I will share some of my briefly. I'll just give you some tips here on best ways to kind of share some trends. So anything that you've noticed in the industry in the past year, if there's something you'd like to highlight, that would be something that would be super valuable, as well as anything that you see happening for 2023, whether it's within the enterprise space or in software or in a lot of different areas. We have a couple of different areas. Todd, I'm going to have you kick us off.
Awesome. I love it. Lots of stuff, I think, happened in 2022. Layoffs, of course. A little bit crazy. I wonder if that is, this is maybe a point of conversation. I wonder if it's a market correction for overhiring during pandemic and then organizations getting cold feet, anticipating recession. We're kind of seeing a little bit of a whiplash effect from that. Even so, I'm still seeing a lot of community opportunities that are out there. So it's curious. It's definitely a thing. And I hope that it evens out or corrects in 2023 early on.
I'm going to chime in real quick on this point of just to clarify, when you're talking about community layoffs for the general people listening, we're just talking about the industry enterprise companies. Some of the larger community companies are we have seen on LinkedIn, there are some people that are posting about changes such as layoffs happening. So I wanted to clarify that and just say also, there are lots of job openings in the community space. I think from my perspective, and just to point, because we're on the spot, of just to say that I think that a lot of what my experience has been recently is that companies don't even know what community jobs are and how to hire for them. And they're kind of like throwing these things out there, but they're not then they're getting thousands of people because they're not being clear about what they want. Yeah. Or need.
Yeah.
And then they're getting people who now they deem are not qualified because they don't even know what they need. So now they're getting 1,000+ applicants for one role, and how much time and energy is spent on evaluating that. And then, you know,
absolutely. Yeah.
So I think it's very layered, I feel like, with as far as like the complexity around community jobs in general for right now.
And I think that's part of it is like we're still educating, you know, about what the heck is community to so many executive leadership teams. Like despite the fact that we think like, oh, everybody's gets community now, and now we can be community led and kind of go, but like there's a lot of companies out there that just don't have any idea where to start. They think that their social media manager is right away their community manager, which is not the case. Yes, it can be great because Carolyn's a great example of making that move from that world. But you know, I don't think that's always the case. I was seeing, I don't know if you guys caught David Spinks's post this morning about on LinkedIn about community, what he's trying to do around, building a talent bank for community professionals. I like the way that he put it, that, you know, community is just so misunderstood, misused as a term, and it's being thrown into everything, and it's not, you know, it's not understood by a lot of companies. So I think we're still sort of in that educative piece around that. Yes, Carolyn, absolutely. Yeah, I do too. and in some ways, it's a little parallel with what Ilker and I are trying to do with talent communities in general, not specifically about community professionals, but just sort of how you engage talent using community type platforms and experiences, something that most organizations are not doing at the moment or doing in a very piecemeal, you know, kind of fashion. Just other big trends. I mean, no surprises if you were kind of paying attention to CMX this year, the rise of community operations as kind of its own category. So it's, you know, more diversification in roles. The platform wars seem to be heating up, that there's just a lot of new entrants in the space. I think we'll probably see some shakeouts in 2023 of platforms that just didn't make it. You know, they were easy to set up and they easily crashed and burned if they didn't have a great business model for what was there. I think more integration with Web3 technologies is going to happen. I think I'm already seeing some of that, attempts to make that an easier thing. Rises of things like Communify and the Common Room and Talkbase, and, you know, just a lot of specialty supporting apps that help community experiences and help to give people a better picture of them. I think that's really interesting too. And the rise of community consulting as a more formalized thing, I think, is we can definitely call that a trend. There are a handful of us, you know, in this space that do this work that love the consultancy side of the world. And I'd love to see that grow in the coming year too. So just a couple of quick ones. I'm sure there are others if I pause for 5 minutes to think about it, but I'll open the floor up to other people. Maybe Carolyn could go next.
Sure. Yeah, I can go. So one of the big things that I see happening a lot currently in the community space is, right, like kind of my understanding of how the industry stood before I joined like a year and a half ago, is that a lot of it is, you know, very small team led, kind of like off on their own, not necessarily interdepartmental integration. And now we're seeing wider, like, especially at a corporate level, wider buy-in, or at least it's a buzzword. So there's wider interest, you know, maybe CEOs are asking like, what's this community stuff? All those sorts of important questions that we kind of wrestle with as professionals. With that rise, like, there is such a clamor for data and reporting that is easy to format for different departments, right? Like, data exists for community teams. We know what we're talking about when we talk about user churn. We know what we're talking about when we're like active users, logins, like all those different things. We know what those mean. But the, one of the biggest trends I see is like looking for actual reporting tools that are going to speak other people's languages as well, to get that cross-departmental buy-in and the buy-in from the C-suite down, especially at the enterprise level, as well as, I mean, my heart is like the creators, the scrappy bootstrappers who are making their way, content builders on TikTok, YouTube, Twitch. I love all of that stuff. And those are people who are community pioneers, and they know that they have communities and they are not nerds like me. They are not interested in data, but they should be. So I see the creators who have this total gold mine becoming more and more interested in understanding their communities that are across different platforms and how to analyze them in kind of a centralized way. Obviously, this is a lot of what we're working on at Communify, but there's other people who are working on it as well, right? I, for one, in all of my stalking and research, I don't see people, softwares that are executing it in a way that speaks custom reporting language to either multiple departments or allows for easy adoption for those sort of creator people. Like the creator economy is going to surpass $1 billion next year or more. Forget the exact number. It's huge. There's so many people since the start of the pandemic that have been like, goodbye corporate life. Now I'm ready to do my own thing, my own pace, and kind of make their own way. There isn't software that's for them. There's tons of enterprise level data analytics and data aggregation software. But there's not stuff built out for creators. So I would see, while the community conversation has like really kicked off kind of in the corporate sphere, creators have been talking about community for forever. They're going to start talking about data. That's my call, that they're going to be hopefully hungering for something like Communify or some other software that comes in and does it right. All right, Claire is going crazy in the chat. Are you able to unmute? Tell us about it.
No, I mean, it's really hard for me to say, but this is literally who I work for. I work for a really well-known podcaster named Aubrey Marcus, and we've leveraged his podcast to cultivate a community based around his interests. And I think that what we're seeing is, you know, it went from like a $1.2 million company. This year, we're in the hole because we spent $1 million on a festival, and that's just the way that festivals work. You lose money for a while. But because of this position I'm in working for him, I'm seeing these influencers realize that what their messaging and their artistry and everything that they care about, actually, they become what I, when I talk to them, I become like, it becomes an energy funnel where they have so many one-on-one interactions with people. It's not scalable for their time. It's not scalable for their impact. So what I've been working with Aubrey particularly, but for other people in this space, because it's now the space that I have contacts with, is how community gives them more free time, gives them more impact, and the correctly cultivated community actually is the thing that is going to give the highest returns and like prevents that thing. So it's like, you know, it's like an irrigation channel instead of everybody coming up to you all at once, which is a lot of them experience really intense burnout from the like managing fans and shifting those fans' attentions to each other rather than directed at one individual is this development of community that's super monetizable if you do it correctly. But like you said, we've had to kind of back end our way through a bunch of different systems, and the metrics that are helpful for enterprise are not at all helpful for us because what we're really looking for is like, we want people to get tattoos of our logo. That's what a metric we want. We don't want people I don't really care how many times you engage in the app because it's not showing me the fullness of the connection and the vibrancy of the brand. And that's been hugely problematic for us. And especially too, like, and I could go off for a long time and you guys are getting me. I woke up at 4 this morning on a 2-hour flight and I landed like 20 minutes ago and I've got a meeting in another 20 minutes. So I'm there. But the other thing that I really do see as a trend is people taking these communities private. And there's really this dance between, so like YouTube, TikTok, all of those different platforms are beautiful because of discovery. But then once you've discovered your tribe and once you've discovered your community, they become cluttered and overwhelming. So what I'm seeing, at least, is people really trying to balance the enticement of discovery, because I can go on TikTok and find a bunch of cool new people, with the intimacy of a community. And the intimacy of the community, once it becomes more powerful or large enough, then begins to replace the discovery aspects of those pieces. So I'm seeing a lot of people in this personal brand influencer space being too scared to leave YouTube and Instagram, but also realizing that that's not what's great for their members or for the people or the community that they're trying to cultivate. But there does seem to be like this tipping point where you have to have like 3,000 to 5,000 people that are deeply engaged before you can actually let go of those platforms. And you still need those platforms as funnels. They just no longer become the place where your community lives.
Yeah.
Sorry, you. I got so pumped.
You got lit up like about that.
And I really think it's fascinating.
Well, thank you so much, Claire. I think those are some really great points. And I'm going to tag on to this, which is to say that one of the things that I've been noticing and doing some research on is this creator economy, is in a place of explosion right now. And I don't know if a lot of people are picking this up, but there's a promise, a secret promise, I feel like, that was made to creators that if you work really hard and create all this engagement, then, eventually you'll get money for this. Like if you work hard enough, you'll get money. Like this, that's a stupid thing. Well, you can work till your eyes are bloody. Like it doesn't matter, because these platforms are not going to give you enough to make a living. It's just, that's the fact of it. There's no way around that. You have to create your own model. And I think community is where a really great piece that has really supported creators in the last 2 years. I think the challenge is there's too much tech. There's too many things happening all at the same time, and they're getting distracted, right? But this idea of being able to make a living off of our creation is what has led, like, the creator economy to my experience, that was this quiet quitting, which has led to the other conversations around, how can I make a living at what I love doing instead of working at a job that I hate? And that's, or working in a job that doesn't light me up or doesn't encourage me to connect or inspire me in any way, versus I'm going to create something that I own and that I have control over, that I can choose how to live my life. And that's what we're seeing is the trend that's shifting. So some people are going the safe route of I'm sticking with my corporate job, and other people are like, I want to try some other things because this is life and we only get one and it's time to explore. So I think there's a lot of trends that are happening right now, and in the creator economy space is a big, big space for community. And I think there's also challenges with it, like platforms that are confusing the crap out of these people. And what happens is, if you, like my experience personally has been, that I created a lot of things and spent a lot of time, and it has not led to income. And in fact, there's statistics that I'm putting together for the pitch deck that I'm working on that says, only 10% of creators, I can't remember the number of millions of creators in the world that identify as creators, and only 10% of those are making more than $100,000 a year. So, if you're, and I have a whole other pitch deck and things that I'm working on, but just to say that there is where rubber hits the road and where you get, and I think the pandemic has brought us miles ahead in the sense of wellness and life's purpose and mission and drive around what it is we do and how we spend our time, which is an amazing benefit that has come out of this challenging time. But it's given light to that. Now that can transition us into other directions of, okay, now if I'm going to spend my time with people I actually want to spend my time with and do work that I'm actually really, really passionate about, what does that look like? And that's a whole new opportunity. And I think it lends to creators in the senses of where they can then, there's two shifts, right? There's an empire where you have millions of followers, and then you have a system and you pay gated access. They get paid to have access to you. That's one, like the Brendon Burchards of the world kind of situation. Or there's another place where it's ecosystems, and Pam Slim is leading the way with ecosystems and building out these supportive, this is what I would consider an ecosystem. I'm not the one in charge. We're all kind of here sharing our expert wisdom. And I feel like that's the magic of community. I'm going to stop because I'm going to welcome Paul. Hi, Paul.
Hi.
Thanks for joining us. Paul's from AgoraPulse, the director of community, global community over at AgoraPulse. Do you want to share any insights since you just joined us?
Thank you. I'm sorry that I was late. I've been trying to get to one of these meetings for like months and months, and we have all these standing meetings that block me from coming. I'm also not a consultant, so I don't know if I apply anymore.
You always apply, Paul. The reason Paul is here is because I got connected to Paul through somebody else, but basically I worked with Paul with AgoraPulse, did some discovery interviews with him when he was in the process of building his community. And so he's a great resource because he knows a lot of people. So that's why you're here, Paul, just to say.
Yeah. Well, Ben, when we first started talking, I was fresh off working on the community consulting team for Higher Logic. So we were a group of 30 community managers who basically functioned as de facto community teams for clients of Higher Logic strategic services. So while I got a paycheck from Higher Logic, I do have a little bit of a sense of what it is to be a consultant, except for the piece of actually like going out and landing clients, which I think is probably the most important thing. and something that I abjectly failed at from 2010 to 12, when I had a social media consultancy and then transitioned into my first community management job from there. But Deb and I were talking a couple weeks ago, and she was like, "Oh my God, you have to come to the next meeting if you can." And I don't even remember the details of what I was saying. We were talking about community
trends,
and kind of some of the
community
stuff.
Trends.
Yeah.
Is what we're talking about.
I can't remember what I said that was so insightful. But from my perspective, I'm very interested in just kind of like the economic downturn and what that means for community. I got into community after the last recession, but that recession incredibly impacted my career. And out of it, I ended up becoming a community manager, which was great. But I haven't been in the field during much of a downturn. I think a lot of us have sort of forgotten or weren't there. But it's interesting to see some layoffs at key places that are sort of leading the thoughts, like that are thought leaders in the community space. So that makes you a little bit concerned that even companies who are leading that conversation or entities that are leading that conversation are devaluing community in some capacity. And that's, you know, being realistic about business, not shocking because often community is viewed as a cost center. I remember talking to a guy years ago when I told him what I did for a living, and he was like a mentor type guy. And I said, you know, we deflected $900,000 a month from support calls for our team. And he was like, listen, your company's never going to care about you if you're not making money. If you're deflecting money, that's not the same as making it. And so it makes you wonder kind of like a lot of community teams may be on the chopping block if things go badly. Now, I think it was great that the economy rebounded in Q3 and like 2.6% growth after two very slightly down quarters. But the inflation is still crazy. And so I think what we're seeing in the business world is like, maybe not necessarily that companies are losing money, but that they're a little bit afraid. And when they are afraid, they start to look at, like I said, what they think are cost centers. And so I think that's going to impact, it could impact us, certainly you guys as consultants, those of us who have jobs at companies similarly, right? That work may go away or may not be there. I'd like to think there are enough companies out there who won't be afraid. I think that it is certainly something realistically to know that, like, yes, some education teams are going to get cut. Yes, some community teams are going to get cut. In a lot of places, those are the same teams. And that's actually a great trend. I'm very cautious right now. And, and particularly, you know, in my company, just full disclosure, you know, we have a mandate from the CEO to exist as this sort of altruistic educating of the industry type thing where we don't support our product, we don't market our product. That might change. Like we have some down quarters and whatnot, the altruism may go out the window. And in fact, one of the things that I'm working on right now is even with the altruism intact, we've determined that our audience will tolerate a certain amount of marketing Now, we're not going to do it like directly via our content in the community, but our properties, we're going to go out and start selling sponsorships. So we do the social media news every Monday. It might be the social media news presented by StreamYard or something. And so that we can actually get some revenue back. My goal is to kind of get our salaries back in 2023, if we exist, right? Like if we don't get cut, and I don't believe we will, I mean, knock on wood, but if I'm pushing toward getting our salaries back, I feel like that's a good way to hedge right now. And so these are the kind of things I'm thinking about is like, I've never been in a position where I had to start thinking about revenue from community. So we're looking at like job posts, selling job posts, things like that. And, you know, we're going to double down on our data that tells us what community members are more likely to do becoming like from the standpoint of becoming a customer. So like, you know, we proved out on our team that worked with IBM at HireLogic that a community member was 3 times more likely than a regular qualified lead to become an IBM customer. And so I think with this more altruistic look and softer audience, we over time, you know, we only have 6-7 months of data, we'll be able to prove that community members are much more likely to become a customer. And so I'm just thinking a lot about showing our monetary value, whereas, you know, in the past, other than showing like deflection for ROI, I haven't had to do as much of that. So that's kind of the trend in my world.
And is my microphone working now, Deb? I changed
it.
Yes. So thank you, Paul. Yeah, thank you, Paul. Like, so for someone who's been in the industry for quite a few jobs, 18 years now, through multiple downturns, recessions, layoffs, the harsh reality is community is one of the first to go. I've been through layoffs. I've been in another company where they hired me, said I had a bunch of budget. I was going through vendor selection. My stock is up here. And then the next day, the CEO does something crazy and my stock is, my options, I'm optioned at 70 and now the stock's at 30, right? You know, and there's no budget for community. And now I'm suddenly doing the social media stuff too. I'm doing a job that I don't like, right? So being flexible, keeping your resume up to date, knowing that, you know, being out there publicly as a person so you have worth in the industry will help you get that next job. But a lot of community managers stay at their careers for a long time at the big places, right? They get in there. If they're the solo, it's when you have a bigger team, I think your tendency to have seem as more overhead. If you're integrated into like a good part of marketing, or if you're integrated into support, you know, the support team, you know, doesn't get hit on the cutoffs a lot of times, you know, marketing and events, you know, a little bit more so, right? So it is a harsh reality, but every time community seems to come back stronger, right? Every time like there's like this downturn, it seems like, okay, yeah, we're reinvesting, we're doubling down, we see the value of it, you know, that you can show them the numbers clearly when you look at their community from when they had a community manager to when they didn't have a community manager. Like, I don't know a community that will show you any number of person in the community that had a community manager, had a community left, and then they brought in a consultant like someone like us to review these numbers. You can clearly see this inflection point where someone left. And I always tell my clients, it's like, if you had a product, you would need a product manager. Or what's going to happen with that product, right? It's going to flounder. And if it's someone who's like an intern, you know, would you give a product to an intern? You know, probably not, right? You'd probably want someone who has a little bit of experience doing the job before. Will have a huge impact into it. My trend this year is all about the AI aspect and, you know, community managers being able to use numbers and reporting easily and more effective. Like I think that's the way that I was able to keep my job for so long at some of these companies that were highly competitive. We're talking about Silicon Valley, startup, cybersecurity, storage. These are competitive just to get in the job, right? Yeah. And so I always had to show my numbers. At one point, at one job, I was doing 80-page deck a month in numbers, going out. At Oracle, it was like a novel. Right? It's going out to 5 different business units, segmented in different ways. You know, it took a data scientist team to produce, right? And so that's what our goal is, to try to simplify that. But I think the smaller communities and smaller people really need to use numbers to their advantage And yeah, it was a horrible report to do, but it was like contextual and posts and reports and went to multiple teams. Our community was impacting, you know, 1,400 employees, who was every business unit was using it, and then our 150,000 members. So people, but that's what I was trying to do to prove my worth to stay in business. It started out as a one pager, and then I think I got to a one pager again, and then you know, I hate reporting. I love it though.
Oh, so true. Numbers are great. And I think a lot of people look at numbers, but I think it's hard to, community is just always going to be something that's hard to really show in a number. I think sometimes you can say we have 10,000 people, but are they all active? We have 500 active members. Great. But are they, you know, getting what they need here? Are we answering the problems? Great. You're getting solutions. Okay.
I always tried to include just like the numbers, but I would also do like a lot of snippets of questions and responses, because I knew a lot of people that were reading my reporting, the reality is they're never going to go to the community. They probably don't go to the community and they just want to see the numbers. They might click on a link. Maybe. But so I would actually screenshot the actual post, the little snippets of text where these are things I want to highlight. And I would, you know, collage them into a tile that's okay. Here's the anecdotal. Here's the conversation stuff. This guy was like, hey, and then I would say this guy made this post, and then I'd blow up his profile. So you could see like, hey, this guy works as a senior engineer at IBM. Right. And, you know, he just answered a question to our customer, HP, right? So, you know, talking about cybersecurity because they both use FireEye, right? And we would highlight these relationships between partners and customers and support. And then obviously support deflection is a strong way to show value of community. I know it's like a cheese ball way to do it, I guess, or it's a, but you know, if you can show case deflection, you know, it's hard to then like justify you if you're under that support wing. You know, we can say, hey, I saved you $10,000 this month. Do you really want to get rid of us?
Yeah.
No, it's totally. It's crazy. Sorry.
Go ahead, Paul. No, Paul, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was like, you know, 10 years of these like corporate community jobs and like the reporting that I've had to do, like, I don't know if I ever got to an 80 slide deck, but I think probably someone stopped me from going to an 80 slide deck at some stage. I got so used to just like giving people a clump of data, like reporting to executives who only care about data, that when I started doing my reports here and I would do either a presentation or all hands meeting or like a Loom that would go out on Slack to you know, most of the company. My community manager came to me and was like, enough with the data, like include the data, but like, can I help you on the next report and like put some humans in there and like some actual screenshots of stuff? And I was like, I just realized I hadn't seen the forest for the trees because I was so used to an executive audience as opposed to like a community or a company of social media people. So now we have kinder, friendlier reporting and the data is like 5 slides.
Yay. I love it. That would make me more happy because I don't like numbers as much. Okay. Rapid fire. We've got like 5 minutes left. So Ilker, you've got 5 minutes and, or we can go over if anyone can hang out later as well. So.
I was going to be a gentle person. Let's be very inclusive. You know, Laura hasn't shared her insights yet. So I was going to say, you know, Laura, if you've got something to say before me, please do, because you know I'm one of the veterans of the you know these meetings. So probably if somebody should go over, that'll be me.
That's very nice. All right, I'll drop one point in there, and then I'll pass it on to you. I think it kind of comes off nicely from. Can everyone hear me this time? Or do I need to go?
A little bit. If you lean in closer,
I'll lean in again. Yeah. So I think my like thing that I would just want to add is that I think sort of a trend that we might see is that, and that we're already seeing is how can we connect the communities that we already have to some sort of more social good in the world or something like that? And how can companies then tell that story to potentially even attract better people? If you think about the next generation coming into the workplace and what they care about and what we've discussed already about how different and how sort of where they are and what motivates them and what they really want out of a company. So it's like you've got this community together, whatever it is, whether it's a brand community, customer community, or whatever community it is. And how can you use these people to do something that's maybe even linked to your corporate social responsibility or something like that? So I sort of see something going in that, and maybe this leads really nicely into Ilka and Todd's sort of stuff about talent communities, because I think there's a massive link there. But again, it's just how can a company actually craft story around this? And that sort of comes along with the data reporting as well. But that would be my my trend to add. And I'm going to keep that really short and pass it straight over back to you, Ilka. Thank you.
Well, thanks so much. Fantastic and lovely. So basically, I'm going to see if I can, you know, squeeze it in a few minutes, which is extremely unlikely of me. You know, it's a major challenge. It's a mountain sized challenge for me. Anyway, I've written this down. You know, there's a couple of trends that I see happening. So I'm going to talk about three. First one is that there's a big, you know, non-returnable change about our perceptions on work, career, and personal branding. So now, you know, our perception of career, what career is, has changed fundamentally. There's no going back, really. So everything is going to be centered around, this is, you know, the base of our thinking with Todd, you know, around talent communities, because employers are becoming, or they're trying to become super brands. They're becoming brands themselves. So something related to, you know, what Claire was saying earlier in a way. And certainly, you know, there's going to be interesting and new facets to everyone. So we're going to have more than one career. This is something that I've been trying to do for a number of years now, but this is now happening, or everybody's sort of forced to do that. You know, Deb has been very kind and transparent in sharing her journey. Of course, Deb, you know, is a professional, but also had to become a creator, had to become many things. So we just have to do that. You know, all of us are expected to have, you know, to become a creator, you know, create content, create things. So basically, creatorship is going to be quite central. And of course, everything revolves around communities in that front. So again, something what Claire was saying. So companies are trying new different things, such as, you know, writing your own job description and the like. So therefore, there's massive opportunities and changes in, you know, the more traditional thing of, you know, recruitment, being an employee, or being even an alumnus. You know, I'm just touching to the points where, you know, what we're working on with Todd. So this is the change number one. It's going to be even more pronounced in 2023. Again, number two, community as a concept is shifting, is changing, is no longer just some collection of people in a platform where, you know, they just make a movement when you poke them. It's not going to happen. It's going to be something completely different. It's going to be completely intertwined with many of the things that we do. We're already seeing that. It's now leading product, leading organizations, you know, leading businesses. It's become a business itself through these DAOs and everything. So it will be even more repurposed. So I don't know if anybody's already a member of it. Tesla has got a platform called Tesla Engage. I don't know if anybody's come across it. This is their community of Tesla users, but they repurpose them. And basically, if you go to that platform, they're actually actively enticing people to, for example, take action against individual U.S. states when there is a law that is passed, that is or about to be passed, that will restrict, you know, electric car usage or anything that will actually undermine Tesla's work. So this is, dare I say it, you know, just weaponizing community, which is very, very interesting. And once again, this was all the talk yesterday when there was the opening night of Web Summit in Lisbon. And everybody was so, you know, thinking about what Elon will do after having purchased Twitter. So Twitter is one of the biggest communities in the world, one of the most influential communities in the world. And, you know, I really wonder, you know, what the community, what this will change community-wise into for Tesla or anything else. So just one example. And I think we're going to see more and more of these. And what does that mean? As community professionals, we are going to go places that we have not gone before. It's not going, we're going to do really untraditional things. And we're going to be, you know, closer to brand management or, you know, user engagement. So NFTs, Web3, blockchain, they became a target. They're out of date. They're dead. They're going to become a medium for user engagement. This is my prediction. Hopefully, just, you know, shoot me down as much as you like. But, you know, we just have to learn and improvise and then basically get out of our comfort zone as community professionals as well. So that's like one thing. And secondly, and the last thing, community platforms, talk a little bit to John and Carolyn here. They're going to like what I say, because I think there's been a big boom in the community platform, the community industry. And in Turkish, we call this a defoliation. Basically, a lot of, you know, people are, you know, a lot of companies are now sort of had to, you know, converge into something else, shut down, or, you know, we've just seen it happen when organizations, companies, platforms, products that are not really delivering anything sort of disappearing out of the face of the earth. This is happening in the community platforms and community products industry. So I think anything that is not unique or anything that is not fixing things, such as the one of the biggest pain in the lower backside, which is the KPIs on in the community world, like Communify, basically trying to fix that, they're going to cease their existence. And this is what we're actually going to be seeing in 2023, according to my extremely humble opinion. And thank you very much.
Wow. Super comprehensive, Ilker. Amazing that you've just hit on so many amazing trends. I know we're at our end here. I want to thank everybody who joined this conversation. And I think we continue the conversation each month with the Community Consultants Collective. Go ahead, Paul. You had a final thought?
No, I didn't.
Okay, I just want to make sure I didn't exclude anybody. We tried to get everybody in. And so what I'll say is I want to just show a slide real quick to everyone. This is part of a slide deck that I'm working on. Can everybody see the slide deck? Just nod for me. Yeah. I'm just going to do the slide, and it just says this, the statistics that I was talking about earlier is at this link, and I can share that if anybody needs it. But over 207 million content creators in the world, 23 million have less than 1,000 followers, 46% are full-time. Only 10% of influencers earn more than $100,000. Creators need online community training because they don't know how to build an online community. That they need that in the world. So anybody that's in this group that's helping people build online communities for either creators or others, they need our support. So I think the whether you're in a full-time role as a community professional or as a consultant, I think we're going to see the need for both and all of those things coming in 2023. And community platforms need us. They need content creators. They need consultants. They need people to help them make it easier to make decisions. And so going to the point of around, you know, there's so many platforms that launch, and you know, how many of them are going to survive? We don't know. We're going to see. It's going to be really interesting in the next year to see, you know, what VC-funded-backed platforms are solving problems. And like my friend Pablo says, the B2B space specifically is a place where Pablo Gonzalez says, and a lot of other people say, you have to be solving a Monday morning problem. And so in business, if you're not solving the, if you're not addressing what keeps the CEO up at night on Sunday night, that it's solved on a Monday morning in the community space, then that's the platforms and the people and the organizations that are going to really thrive are the ones that are solving those Monday morning problems, whether it's change, whether it's creating change in the world, because we see there's a lot of places in this world that we need some change to happen. Like 50 years ago, we had change happen in the US, and then all of a sudden it flipped on us. So things like that, I think, are going to be a major way that we will see communities come and rally together in 2023 to create social change. So I think that social change is going to be one of the key elements of the community industry, and how that happens is going to be these players, and we're going to see it as live in the next six months to 12 months. Cool. And I saw some comments in the chat. Everybody needs guidance. Yep. And does anybody have a final thought that they wanted to say? I want to make sure that we get anybody who has a final comment, wants to share anything, rapid fire question. Last question here. I'll give you a prompt. If you could go back and tell yourself when you started out in the community space, one thing, what would that one thing be? Carolyn.
Don't go small. Because I mean, when I started in this space, what we're still building for the company that I co-founded, it has so much potential and we're still reaching it and realizing how much more there is. So, and I don't think we ever sold ourselves short, but there were definitely moments where we're like, yeah, it'd be okay if we had like, you know, this goal, like a low hanging fruit goal, and then we exceeded it. I'm like, what would have happened if we would have stretched early on? Where would we be now if we would have been stretching for it? And I think community professionals are really, really by nature able to stretch and go big because they have a community to back them up. They have a network of people. So yeah, go bigger, big and bigger.
Snaps. Laura.
Invest as much time as you can in educating the people internally as you do externally. Because if you don't get the support from the people inside your business, you're going to be really hard pushed to get it outside the business. And I think too many of us neglect that. I think we think everybody, we can tell them and present our slides once to them and they get it. You've got to get yourself in as many conversations as you can around the business with different people in different functions to get them bought in. And you've got to continue to get their feedback, to get their buy-in, to get them to care. And that is a long-term thing. It's not a five-minute thing. And it's possibly, to me, I think what I would tell myself is like worth spending a really significant amount of time on.
Yeah, I just say the last closing word, like, yes, the more people you have involved in the community from your company, the more customers you can support. It's a totally correlated number. And don't disregard your numbers. Look at your numbers and course correct. You're afraid to fail fast. It was a mentor of mine. You tell me is fail fast. Try things. Look at the numbers. If it's not working, stop. Right. And then if they are, do more. Right. So your numbers are your friend and try things out because different things stick for different communities.
F perfection is what I got from that. Don't let perfection stop you. We don't have to have everything shiny and perfect. In fact, we do a disservice if we think we have it all figured out, because if we haven't talked to ideal members, we don't have it all figured out. So I would be, my tip would be just talk to your members before you do anything big or changing, because yeah, let's think big, but then make sure we talk to members to make sure we're solving the problem that we want to solve. So I think that's it. Todd, it looks like he has one final comment there, and then I think we'll wrap up.
You guys are making me very literary this morning. My early training was as a lit nerd. So, my brain goes back to quotes, that I learned early in my career. And I put one up in the chat, but I thought the one that's sticking with me is from an obscure Renaissance poet that you guys probably wouldn't recognize unless you took a lot of Renaissance lit classes. But in one of his epic poems, he wrote, be bold, be not too bold. And I kind of love that that sense of we need to be adventurous about this stuff. We need to know what the sense of propriety is. But the advice that I would definitely have given myself would have been to be even more aggressive than I thought that I could be when entering the community space. So that was a hard learned lesson. I've always been a little too conservative entering into new stuff.
Thank you. And thanks again for everybody who shared today. I think what I also would say is making it easier and not taking the complication out of things. Cause I think the biggest thing that I've learned is that, you know, the clients I work with have really enjoyed conversations and people, like talking to people and keeping it light and fun versus heavy. I think we've all gone through a lot of heavy stuff the last couple years. And what we want right now, what a lot of people want at the bottom line, is just connection, to be seen, valued, and heard, and to have a little fun. And to feel like we're making a difference in the world. And all of those positive rosy colored glasses stuff is really something that more and more people are really wanting in their life. So I think if there's a way to somehow add that element into every community opportunity, I think that's a great thing to add of let's keep it simple. And how do we connect with people? Because at the end of the day, we don't need seven tools or systems to talk to people. We just need to talk to people. So whatever that system is, let's just make that happen and talk to people. And that's all for today. Thanks for everybody who's been listening to this episode of the Community Strategy Podcast. We are on YouTube. So if you did want to see our faces, you can go to YouTube and find us there. I have the new handle set up recently. YouTube just announced that you can have a handle. You don't have to like meet their parameters of so many subscribers to get to have a handle now. So the handle is the Community Strategy Podcast. And we are excited to have a bunch of episodes that are coming up and some really great episodes that will be, I love Todd put a little, he has little graphics he's showing. So the feature isn't available on YouTube yet, on my YouTube yet. Oh, okay, Carolyn. Yeah, I got the email this week. They actually sent me a couple of times because they were like, did you change your handle yet? And I'm like, I'm a little behind on email, YouTube. Give me a break. Anyhow, all right. Well, so you can watch on the YouTube channel or listen on all the platforms. Until the next time, I hope you're finding calm in this day, evening, moment, afternoon, or today is Wednesday at 1. Take care. Find calm. Till the next time. See you later. Thanks all. Bye.
See you guys. Great to see you all.
Hi, this is Deb Schell, and I'm super excited to let you know that I'm writing a book. Yes, it might not be a big deal for you, but it is a big deal for me. As I work through writing the Creators Community Builder book, I've decided to launch a crowdfunding campaign, and I'm super excited to share with you that this is where I'm asking you for your help. I need to reach $5,000, and at this moment, we've raised about $1,110. So thank you so much for all of the people who have supported this project to this point. I wanted to let you know with updating you today that I'm extending this campaign to the end of the year. So by December 31st, my goal is to raise $5,000 for this book. The estimates are about $10,000 of cost of publishing, printing, a limited, you know, amount of copies, and paying for a designer. So I just started reconnecting with our book designer. He's going to be getting me some proposals next week, and I'm going to start with a new cover design for you, hopefully before the end of the year. So that's my update for today. Thank you for supporting me so far. If you haven't supported this project yet, please go to the show notes and check out the iFundWoman crowdfunding campaign for the new book, Creators Community Builder. I'm super excited. Thanks so much for all who've supported.